If you have your Bibles, join me in John chapter 14. The sermon I had for you today is not so applicable at this moment. And so as I said this morning, the Lord moved to have me have that little time of praise and thanksgiving and then prayer. I'm thankful that I'll call it smart enough to realize that there needs to be something else. When I started seminary, I told the Lord, I said, now if you want me to do something, you better be using that 2x4 to make sure I don't miss it, because I'm a little slow. And so I'm thankful when times like this come and I can be receptive to the Holy Spirit and then take Matthew 10 into serious consideration. That Matthew writes that when you stand before kings, don't worry about what to say, because the word will be given to you. And so I'm standing here before kings and queens because y'all are of the inheritance of Jesus Christ. And as he, as a king, you are in that same lineage being believers. And so I believe God would have me address a particular situation here that we all are facing in one way or another. Now, John chapter 14, as my Sunday school knows, we've been talking about this for a little while, but this is a very familiar passage. If you've been to any funeral at all, you've heard this passage read, but I want to try to dig into it a little bit and bring some of God's goodness and hope and love. John writes Jesus' words, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also, and you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father. From now on, do you know him?" Excuse me, "From now on, you do know him and have seen him." As I said, this is a very familiar passage. We've heard it so many times, but many times in those funerals, we don't have opportunity to dig into them to understand exactly why they are read on those occasions and what Jesus is relaying here. First of all, understand who he's talking with, his disciples. They are raised in a very Jewish culture. And so when Jesus Christ makes a comparison of himself with God the Father, then that is strange to their ears because they understand Yahweh, they understand Jehovah, they understand the ways of God. They've been taught, even though they may not be very religiously oriented men, they lived in that culture. And so they knew the word God, Yahweh, Jehovah, and that was a word that they wouldn't even say because of their reverence for him being God. And so when Jesus comes and says, "You believe in the Father, believe also in me," that's blasphemous to a Jewish person because you cannot correlate God and man. But Jesus' whole point here as he goes through chapter 14 is to say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. What God has blessed you with, what God has promised you, the covenant promises made to Abraham, the promises all through the Old Testament, whatever God has said to you, I am now here fulfilling that and saying that to you as well. And so you need Thomas, Philip, which verse 8 starts with Philip's conversation. You need to get a hold of that what God has promised you, you see the fulfillment now in me. Now, remember where the disciples are right now. They're in the upper room. This is Friday evening. He's about to go out into the Garden of Gethsemane and have that prayer that is so troubling to him and in such anguish that he bleeds. the three disciples he took with him, they fell asleep. A few minutes, he's going to be come, betray him and take him away. So he's preparing the disciples for him to leave. And it's not just him leaving, walking out the door and walking down the road. He's going to be killed. And this is incredible anguish to these men. A, they don't understand, but then you're going to kill this man. And so put yourself in their context there for just a moment. But what does Jesus tell them to bring them hope, even though they're about to go through a very treacherous, treacherous time, especially him, but then the disciples in the next 15 years, all of them will be martyred, except for John. So what Jesus is facing tonight, they're about to face. They don't know it yet. But what does he tell them? Do not let your hearts be troubled. Okay, that sounds good, Jesus. That sounds good. You just told me a little bit earlier, if you go over in chapter 13, you just told me a little bit earlier that you were troubled in your spirit because of the betrayal by Judas, and his heart was troubled. But yet now I look at you and say, don't be troubled. Okay, Lord, make up your mind. Where are we? But then Jesus gives them the basis for why we are not to be troubled, why these disciples are not to be troubled. And what does he tell them? I'm going away. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, then I am coming back to take you to be where I am. And of course, Thomas is asking, well, where is that? That's not the point, Thomas. That's not the point. I am the way. It's not a path. I am the way. And know what Jesus is telling them. He is going away to heaven. Then the Holy Spirit is coming. And that Holy Spirit is going to be the guarantee of their salvation, of your salvation. And then that Holy Spirit is going to be, another name for the Holy Spirit is what? Comforter. His name means comforter. So boys, take it easy. Next couple of days are going to be hard. But where I am going, I'm preparing for you. And then if we read on in 14, in chapter 15 and 16, the Holy Spirit is coming. And that Holy Spirit, as we see in Acts chapter 2, brings them to a place of power and energy that they can face their enemies. Peter even calls them out, where just days earlier he betrayed. And so Jesus is giving them hope and courage, encouragement. I'm going to prepare a place for you. The Holy Spirit is coming, so don't be troubled. How many of you are troubled in your lives right now? We heard several stand up just a moment ago. And there's different types of troubles. We have illness. We have loved ones passing away. We have loved ones who are in that period of life where decisions, as I referred to, are going to be making some decisions about care, end-of-life care, just aged citizens, aged brothers and sisters care. My nephew in ICU, my sister troubled that her son is not healthy at all. We have family issues, children not being the way we would pray or hope. Children, parents, who you are not, they are not what you prayed and hoped for. We're not going to let them off the hook. But this is the whole point that Jesus is saying here. And it's twofold. A, we should not be surprised. Anything that happens in this life that is troublesome, that is to the point of debilitation, to the point of sitting down in the middle of the room and just crying. You know, brothers and sisters who walk away from the faith, children who are into things they shouldn't be into, parents who are divorced, or, you know, the troubling times. These should never surprise us. And sometimes many Christians think that once I become saved, then it's a smooth road. I've told y'all many times that Judy and I and the girls, we had it made. until March of 1999. You know, we had the big house, the swimming pool out back, sitting on the pond, three cars in the garage, two girls that were beautiful and healthy, et cetera, et cetera. I had an awesome job getting paid more than I was worth. Judy had an incredible career, had it made. Until March of 1999, when he said, "Boy, you're going into the seminary and going to preach." And it's been tough. So coming to Christ is the answer. But don't believe, and I was going to preach on the prosperity gospel here a little bit, but I'll save that for next week. Don't believe that prosperity gospel message that all you got to do is have faith and everything in your life will be great. My Bible never says that. And so, A, we should not be surprised by the troubles, by the heartaches, by the disappointments, by the failures, by the sickness, by the illness. That's just sin. Not sin of the person, but just sin of our bodies. It's going to happen. And so we should not be surprised. The other side of that coin is, yes, we're not surprised, but we're also to have hope. Because Jesus says, "Do not be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." As Gary stood up and said, you know, through the hard times, God is always there. Every one of you in this room can make that same confession, profession to some degree. Jesus goes on to say that as we are one and we come together as one and we live according to the commands, we live according to those teachings of Jesus Christ, especially in the midst of the trials, especially in the midst of the heartaches, then Jesus says, you doing that will show the world that you are my disciples. So how are we supposed to influence the world in those troubled times? By revealing, expressing our hope. The promise that Jesus made to the disciples, he made to you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. So logic dictates, and he basically says this, logic dictates, hey guys, if I'm going to prepare a place for you, then what does logic say? I'm coming back. Now, when he's coming, we don't know. We're not supposed to know. But it is in that heartache and that trial when we reveal the faith that we have. You know, we've said many times, it's easy to have a good faith when the sun's shining. But when you woke up this morning and the dark clouds were rolling in, literally, but when the dark clouds are walking through your life, is that the time that you make a good faith testament? It better be, because that's where your faith comes in. That's where you measure the caliber of your faith. When Marley passed away, several of my colleagues expected fully for Judy and I to leave the ministry. You know, one gentleman said, how can you go on? You know, this your child, how can you go on? Maybe there was something I didn't know, but I'm thankful I didn't know it. Because I replied to the guy, how could I not? How could I not? Because God had prepared Judy and myself, and you, the church, but God had prepared Judy and I for that occasion. By teaching us who God is and that he is sovereign, that he is in command. Marley belonged to him, not me. I just got to be the steward for 16 and a half years. And so knowing that God said, time for her to go, time for her to come home, tore us apart, of course. But I'm thankful that it did not debilitate. It did not put us on our faces of quitting, but it built such a courage in us. Because I'm basically saying now, you know, God did this. What are you going to do to me? And so that's where we are in our faith. And I'm not putting me on a pedestal. Every one of you have been in a similar, somewhat, you know, situation. But see, that's the faith of a Christian. That's the maturity of a Christian, is when we lose our parents, when we lose our loved ones. That's when the world's going to watch and watch you crumble under the pressure, crumble under the heartache. Go in your bedroom, crawl in under the covers and go, I'm done. I've been close to that. Some of you have too. But we don't. So those of you who stood up earlier, those of you who didn't stand up, but you got heartaches and pains and troubles, and life is just life. It's hard. Don't be surprised. Jesus said, the world hated me. The world hates you. Satan hates you. Go read the book of Revelation, chapter 19, I think, where Satan tried to kill Jesus as a child. Didn't happen. Satan tried to kill Jesus on the cross. Didn't happen. Jesus fled into the wilderness, basically fled into the strength of the church. He ascended on high, and he left his church to resemble him. So now, who is Satan after? You. You know why? You remind him of Jesus, and he hates you. Now the question is, do you remind him of Jesus? Or is he not concerned? That's a whole nother sermon. I'll leave over there. But again, just what I was hearing this morning in this prayer and praise time, the standing and talking and testimonies and all that, and then Gary stepping up and others of you having opportunity to spend with Clay and Pat, have opportunity to spend with Miss Betty this week, and just the incredible times of ministry through the heartaches and the trials. What hope can you bring in the room when you step in that place? That's what they taught us in seminary. He said, when you, Tim, walk into the room, you bring God in that room. Well, it's not just Tim. It's not because I'm a preacher. We Christians, when we walk into a place, God is there. So say, Lord, okay, what would you have me say here? What would you have me do to encourage? What would you have me do to sustain and make it through this time? Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my house are many mansions. I'm going to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to be where I am. And then Revelation 21 teaches us is when that time occurs, no more tears, no more pain, no more bad knees, no more back that hurts, no more heartache, worry over my nephew, no more worry over your spouses. Jesus will come and fulfill the covenant where he says, I will make my dwelling place with man. That's the hope. And it's a very acknowledged hope. It's a very known hope. There's nothing blind about it. So, rest on that. Wherever you may be, rest on that. Do not be troubled. Do not be troubled. Show a good faith. Show the world who God is. Show the world that you're a believer of strong character, strong faith, and a face that would, in a world that would love to put you under. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. I pray the words just spoken would find comfort, encouragement in and among the people. Feeble words from a feeble servant, but words that, Holy Spirit, I pray you would use. And we do pray that the Spirit of God would descend upon our hearts and encourage us, hold us, and lead us through these times. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Amen.